Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Davis Matic. And as always, our Tuesday podcast covers the waiver wire. We are heading into week 11 of the fantasy football season. The playoffs in high stakes fantasy football leagues are going to start next week. In most home leagues, playoffs are going to start in week 13. The Scott Fishbowl playoffs also begin in week 13. So sort of the focus of these episodes is always in three tiers. We talk about the guys who are must-adds in every league. Then we talk about the borderline starters. Then we talk about the deep league targets and bench stashes. The bye weeks are starting to get past us. A lot of us should have, you know, our teams getting close to full health, you know, the fully operational Death Star. But of course, you know, we always need to know, what kind of team do you have? Is your team sitting there in the sixth seed and desperately needing points? Or are you tops of the league and you're really just looking for ways to get over the hump and win championships? I think knowing those things is incredibly important with our fab dollars here in the last couple weeks of the regular season, because if you are one of these teams that's kind of on the edge, you need to be spending that money, right? You need to be getting these borderline guys who project slightly better than guys you have on your roster in your teams. So definitely make sure to think about what kind of team you have as you make your waiver wire decisions this week. Starting at the top with our potential difference makers, we have Salvin Ahmed, who I have to say, I kind of have to take an L on him, because last week I was not as interested in him. You know, we talked about DeAndre Washington. Of course, we talked about our buddy Patrick Laird. We talked about Matt Breida. And it really just looks like Ahmed is going to be the guy who leads the Dolphins backfield until Myles Gaskin returns. He ran the ball 21 times for 85 yards and a touchdown. He only had one catch on one target for 5 yards. I mean, basically, he is just playing the role that Myles Gaskin played. And, you know, he was a good rusher at the University of Washington. He's a decent athlete. I see no reason to suggest that he's going to be benched for Matt Breida or DeAndre Washington next week. Really, it's just a matter of, when does Myles Gaskin come back? Because I think maybe Breida would crunch into his snaps a little bit, but DeAndre Washington is just going to be a complimentary player here in Miami, it looks like. I think that of all the players left on the waiver wire, he is probably number two in who I would want to start next week. And I think, you know, you could maybe make your contingent bids with like 40% of your remaining fab, 50% of your remaining fab on Ahmed. But the clear number one add to me this week, and it really does just sound so disgusting, but it is Kalen Ballage. He is the clear lead back in the Chargers backfield right now. And I don't even really think it's all that close. Justin Jackson got placed on the injured reserve. Troy Maine Pope was active, but played only special teams. Ballage saw 23 touches, had 5 receptions on 6 targets, and put up 102 total yards. With Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler out, It really is not going to surprise me if Kalen Ballage projects as like a top 10 running back in fantasy football this week. So he is a guy I really think you can go all in on. You know, if you are, for example, I am in a league right now. My record is 5-5. I have to beat my opponent this week, and I need to beat another opponent in total points in order to get the playoffs. I think I have $36 of $100 left, and I am putting all of that remaining fab, because this league has $0 bids for kickers and defenses, I'm putting all of that remaining fab on Kalen Ballage, and I don't think it's ridiculous. In the FFPC, he probably got picked up in many leagues last week, but you know, if you are in these high stakes leagues, I think that you could go 80% of your remaining fab on Ballage if he is still out there in your league. But granted, you know, he probably was picked up in most of those competitive high stakes leagues. A guy who will not be owned in probably any league right now that's playing for any amount of money other than super flex leagues, Jameis Winston. We now have a report that Drew Brees has a collapsed lung and multiple fractured ribs. We don't expect him to be back for several weeks. And Jameis, to me, looks like the best quarterback pickup of the year. He'll probably be, and this is so weird to talk about with quarterbacks, but he will probably be in like an 80-20 split at the quarterback position with Taysom Hill coming in. But he gets, you know, a super favorable schedule over the rest of the season. He gets Atlanta twice, he gets Denver, and he gets Philadelphia over the next 2 weeks. I think that, you know, this is a pretty good offensive situation, right? He's got the dump offs to Kamari. He's got Michael Thomas. He's got Manny Sanders. He's got Tre'Quan Smith. Even Jared Cook is still probably an above average pass catching tight end at this position. Now, the Saints are not going to give him as much room to mess up as, you know, other teams would. However, you know, I do think that Jameis is worth adding, especially, you know, Josh Allen is on bye. You know, like, just some of these guys have bye weeks yet to come. A lot of teams probably lost Drew Brees. You know, Jameis to me has a top five QB ceiling the rest of the way, and I do think he needs to be owned in every 12-team league. And if you're feeling questionable at quarterback at all, or if you're looking for a backup quarterback, you know, let's say you have Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or whoever, and you're looking for a backup quarterback for the stretch run in the FFPC or in the NFC where, you know, the roster moves in the playoffs are cut out. You're not able to make them anymore after week 13. Jameis looks like a great target as a backup quarterback. And those are all of the very high priority adds. Now we can move to some of the borderline starters. The first one is Cordarrelle Patterson. He basically played like David Montgomery's role on Monday night against the Minnesota Vikings. He had 12 rushing attempts. He had two targets, and that doesn't sound like a lot, but the Bears hardly ran any plays. They only threw 26 passes, so even 2% of the targets is meaningful there. Artavis Pierce had three rushes. Lamar Miller had no rushes and two targets. Ryan Nall had one rush for 0 yards. You know, Patterson is, as long as David Montgomery is out, he looks like a 15 touch a game style guy. And that's a guy that you need to own, right? That is a guy who absolutely needs to be owned in 12-team PPR leagues. Nall and Artavis Pierce would be like $1 bids. And maybe even Lamar Miller. You know, we don't know how severe these David Montgomery, you know, the concussion, the injury stuff is. But if he doesn't play in week two, I mean, I think Patterson is going to project as a flex starter in leagues with multiple flexes in week 12. Now we move on to Cam Akers, who has been dropped in a big chunk of leagues. He's about 24% owned on Yahoo. Cam Akers actually led the team in carries with 10, but Malcolm Brown scored twice. Daryl Henderson scored once. It's now a full-on three-way committee. However, you know, Cam Akers is the one with the draft capital there. He was the one drafted highly most recently. I do think he needs to be added in all 12-team PPR leagues. I think that he is now kind of in that premium tier of handcuff, like Tony Pollard, like Boston Scott, and he does have a little bit of standalone value as well, so I do think he needs to be added in every format this week. Moving on to Cole Beasley, I wrote this week that he might as well call himself the inconvenient truth. John Brown got injured again, this time an ankle injury. Beasley played the second most snaps of any Bills pass catcher and racked up 13 targets again the game against the Cardinals, while Gabriel Davis played only 37 snaps and had only 3 targets. John Brown, you know, he is continuing to come in and out of the lineup for the Bills, and that really works out in Beasley's favor because we have seen the Bills go so pass heavy. They are second in the NFL in pass rate above expectations, and, you know, coming off of an 11 catch, 109 yard, and a touchdown game, Beasley is, you know, he is just a clear start in PPR formats right now. The problem is the Bills are entering into their bye right now, so I don't think you would need to spend more than like 2-5% in order to acquire Beasley. You know, so it's not a guy you absolutely have to add, but, you know, again, he's kind of in that, wow, this is such a crazy comparison, but he really is kind of like Mecole Hardman, where when someone gets injured in the really explosive offense that he's in, he becomes a startable player in PPR leagues. A couple more wide receivers here. We have KJ Hamler, it feels like I have literally mentioned KJ Hamler in every single episode of this show that we've done. The Broncos again fell down in a giant hole against the Raiders, which again led to Drew Lock topping 40 passes. Hamler played 62 of 71 offensive snaps and was targeted 10 times for the second week in a row. Noah Fant's continued struggles with his high ankle sprain have led to, you know, more snaps and more targets for Hamler. Tim Patrick was ejected from this game against the Raiders, and, you know, you never know what that's going to do with the team in terms of like discipline and everything like that. But I would imagine it probably didn't curry a ton of favor with the coaching staff. Hamler seems fully healthy, and this offense just keeps having to throw the ball 40 times a game because they suck so bad. So again, you know, I do think Hamler is a kind of a wide receiver four flex option for the rest of the way. Another very similar player is Jakeem Grant. I was kind of hesitant to start him in leagues last week, but he clearly does have a valuable role inside of this Miami offense. Grant played 44 snaps, which was the second most of any wide receiver or tight end in the Dolphins' first game without Preston Williams, which I do think is meaningful because this is a team that plays a ton of 12 personnel. You know, all of Mike Gesicki, Durham Smythe, and Adam Shaheen played over 20 snaps. So kind of my loose thinking on why Grant is playing so much and the tight ends are playing so much is that Jakeem Grant can't run block. And so what they do is they play Smythe and Shaheen on running downs because they need that. You know, they need the run blocking with Jakeem Grant out there. And then on third downs, Gesicki rotates in for one of Smythe or Shaheen, but Grant stays out there because, you know, he is such a solid receiver. You know, he's so fast. So I do kind of think that Jakeem Grant is like a, you know, wide receiver 3-4 style flex for the rest of the way. Not a guy you're going to be crazy about starting because I don't think anyone in this Miami offense has a ton of high ceiling because they're just not running that many plays. They're not throwing the ball down the field, but does need to be owned. Next guy is Rashard Higgins, who again, you know, don't really feel great about him. Baker Mayfield threw only 20 passes and completed 12 of them in that just complete monsoon weird game against the Texans. You know, one of the slowest games of the week, the lowest scoring game of the week. Higgins recorded 4 targets and played 38 snaps, which was actually the same number as Jarvis Landry and Kadarius Hodge. So it seems like he kind of just has fully replaced Odell Beckham. And Higgins is kind of like, I would rather have him than Alshon Jeffrey, Golden Tate, Zach Pascal, AJ Green, and these other, you know, carcass style wide receivers, because Higgins actually has upside. You know, like he is probably going to get targeted down the field, and he will have, I think, a role inside the red zone as well. Now, finally, a guy that I do love, Michael Pittman Jr. This is the third week in a row I've implored you guys to pick him up. He led the Indianapolis Colts in targets last week, and he led the wide receivers in targets, and he led them in snaps. He had his first 100-yard game, 101 yards against the Titans on Thursday night, and he just is clearly better than T.Y. Hilton, clearly better than Zach Pascal. He replaced Marcus Johnson 1-for-1, and the Colts.com beat writer had some really nice things to say about Pittman, so I'm going to read this to you guys. I think the next step in Pittman Jr.'s evolution is the red zone go up and get it type of plays. Even in training camp at Lucas Oil Stadium, we saw Pittman Jr. targeted quite frequently in traffic across the middle in the end zone, so I'm sure those plays will start to materialize more and more throughout the second half of the season. This isn't high-level analysis, but what has been so crystal clear the last couple games has been Phillip Rivers' increasing comfort throwing to Pittman Jr. At all times. He caught 4 first downs in week 9 against the Ravens, and then on Thursday night against the Titans, he got the ball in Pittman Jr.'s hands as a point of emphasis, and the end result was 7 receptions for 101 yards, as well as the 21-yard reverse play on the ground. So, get Michael Pittman. You know, if Michael Pittman is still out there on your waiver wire, I would consider him as much of an ad as Kalen Ballage. You know, I think he absolutely needs to be owned. A couple other quick names here at wide receiver: Allen Lazard, Josh Reynolds, MVS, Mecole Hardman if he's out there, Breshad Perriman and Denzel Mims, Darnell Mooney, Olamide Zaccheaus, and Chris Conley. Chris Conley would be contingent on LaVisca Chenault being able to play or not being able to play this week. Finally, our deep league targets, we have Alex Collins, who, again, might get another start on Thursday night. You know, we haven't heard good things about Carlos Hyde's health. We haven't heard good things about Chris Carson's health. And Alex Collins led the Seattle backfield in touches and in snaps in their loss on Sunday. He also scored a 13-yard touchdown. I think there's a very high probability that Collins actually has retained some playing time even when Carson and Hyde get back. So I do not spend more than a dollar, because I don't think that the ceiling is all that high for him, especially with Carson and Hyde eventually coming back. And also, you know, this team just, they throw the ball so often that their running backs are, if Alex Collins can't get to 5 catches, then he really has to score in order to get double digit points, basically. Then we have Sony Michel. He would be, again, another $1 ad. He is a guy who is eligible to come off of the designated for return IR. Now, it's literally probably going to be a four-way split between Michelle, James White, Rex Burkhead, and Damian Harris. But, I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, like, just the ability to have a Patriots running back has paid off so many times in the past that even their fourth string guy, even Sony Michel, does probably need to be owned in 12-team PPR leagues. And maybe this is a rare thing. Well, not even rare, but in a standard format or in a half PPR, Michel does have more value. And then the final guy we need to talk about here is Taysom Hill. If you play on Yahoo or if you play on ESPN where Taysom Hill is eligible at tight end, he actually is the best add of the week. Drew Brees is going to miss. You know, I think he'll probably be out for the rest of the regular season. He's got broken ribs and a collapsed lung and he is old, so it's a lot harder for him to recover. The way that at Daily Roto and at Sports Grid, the way we're projecting it the rest of the year is that Taysom Hill is going to play about 20% of the snaps at quarterback. I think you could probably say 3 passing attempts per game, 5 rushing attempts per game, and 2 targets per game, and that maybe might even be conservative. And if you go back and look at what Taysom was doing in some of those Teddy Bridgewater games last year, we saw that, you know, his role expand in the games where Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback. If we go back and look, so Brees gets injured against the Rams, then for Taysom, we saw him play 7, 9, 22%, 17%, 17%, and 20% over the next 5 games with Teddy Bridgewater, a quarterback. And maybe they even like Taysom a little bit more than they like Jameis. Like, Teddy Bridgewater was kind of a better facsimile for Drew Brees than Jameis is going to be. The offense is going to have to be, you know, a little bit different. So that is where we are at with him. You definitely need to add him. Logan Thomas, if he's out there, Jordan Reed, if he's out there, Mo Alie-Cox, if he's out there, these are good guys. And then Dan Arnold, actually, with Darryl Daniels injured, Arnold has been running a ton of routes. He's like a pretty good $1 guy in the FFPC. So that is where we are at for all of our waiver wire ads, all of our fab bids here this week in week 11. Everyone, I hope your leagues are going great. I hope you're going to make the playoffs. I hope you're going to make a bunch of money. And we will be back on Thursday for the game by game show.